Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come so that we might hear what you have for us today. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I've been watching a documentary about the business magnate Bill Gates. I admit it's challenged some of my assumptions about him. I'd always thought of Bill Gates as a disturbingly rich, cutthroat, competition-blocking capitalist. By the way, in Christian circles, that's not a compliment. At one time, Microsoft controlled nearly 95% of the household computer software market, and not by being nice. But the documentary wasn't about that. It was about what Gates is up to now. Today, Gates and his wife Melinda run one of the world's most ambitious charities, valued at more than $34 billion. Gates has brought the same approach to charity that he once had to the business world. In fact, one of his former staff commented, "I think he's ratcheted it up a bit." Unlike many celebrity-run charities, Gates is not just the figurehead. He's a hands-on guy, studying the science, interviewing potential partners, traveling the world, lobbying politicians, working all the angles. The Gates charity currently has three main emphases. First, to eradicate polio worldwide. Second, to develop toilets for places without proper sewage systems that actually incinerate the waste, preventing contamination of drinking water. And third, to develop safe and clean nuclear power generation to replace coal. Now, none of these things have been fully achieved yet, but the work continues. In short, Bill Gates has found a way to leverage his past work experience for a future potential that might make a big difference in the world. Well, this morning we have heard a different kind of business story, the parable of the shrewd manager. Now, to our modern ears, this has to be one of Jesus' most difficult teachings, not because we don't understand it, but because it seems to be so in line with how the world already works, and so counter to everything Jesus stands for. Is Jesus actually recommending stealing to get ahead? Is he really advising in favor of cronyism? Well, no, I don't think so. There's some cross-cultural information that first-century hearers would have intuitively understood about this story that we just don't understand. For instance, rich landlords or masters were basically loan sharks. They charged exorbitant interest rates, exploiting the working poor. But does this justify stealing? Well, you'll notice that the manager only forgives a portion of each of the loans, likely the portion that is equal to the exploitive interest rates that they were being charged. Okay, so the manager was playing Robin Hood. But what does that have to do with us gathered here this morning? And what does it have to do with this sermon series all about our work? Well, Jesus' story is putting forth a very simple principle. In his parable, Jesus has the master commend the shrewd manager for leveraging a current opportunity for a future opportunity. Jesus says, "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Leveraging a current opportunity for a future opportunity. In other words, money and jobs are a worldly problem, but they can be used to achieve heavenly ends. Simply put, work can have eternal consequences. And here's the thing. Our world is notoriously short-sighted. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, is a saying I first learned in business school. Profit today is always better than profit some other day. When I worked in sales, I became painfully aware that all that mattered was the maximization of shareholder wealth in the here and now. Never mind long-term gain. We've got to have a report into head office by the end of the week. Just get her done, they used to say. But Jesus' parable illustrates the importance, as Christians, of taking a long view. The shrewd business manager, seeing that his days as manager are numbered, sets to work to accomplish something to help others and to secure his own future. Now, I don't think Jesus is telling this parable to give us a prototype for how to be model employees, but I do think it has something to tell us about our work. Imagine if we lived our Christian lives as creatively as the manager in this parable. By the way, did you know that the Apostle Paul had a day job? He was a tent maker. He refers to it in passing a number of times in his various letters to his churches. For example, in the letter to the Thessalonians, he says, "We worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you." See, the world's most effective Christian had a day job, and he too used his current situation for God's future one. Now, I doubt that Bill Gates is doing what he's doing out of a desire to please his heavenly Father. When you're one of the richest people in the world, you can afford to play Savior for fun. But even so, there's something here for us, us non-billionaire chairman of the board types. And for me, the lesson to be learned is to always leverage your current situation for God's future one. Because as followers of Jesus, we know that there is something called eternity. We can take the long view in life because we know that when people say things like, "life is short and then you die," it's simply not true. While our neighbors are rushing through life trying to check off their bucket lists, we take a different approach. You don't really like your current work? It's not fulfilling in the way that you would like it to be? That's okay, we've all been there. But how can you leverage your current situation for God's future one? How can you use it so that you can go home at night feeling like you've accomplished something that really matters? As Christians, our long view approach makes sense. Paul says to the Roman church, "Now if we are children of God, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we might also share in his glory." See, in a sense, we aren't that different from Bill Gates, believe it or not. We have quite the inheritance coming to us. And that truth allows us to face our challenging days at work differently than anyone else. We go to work knowing that we can leverage our current situation for God's future one. I remember about 10 years ago or so, I knew that God was calling me to something different, in a different direction in my life. Full-time, accountable ministry in the United Church of Canada was where I was supposed to be. But getting there was going to be complicated. We had our first child on the way. We had a mortgage to pay. We still had student debt from our first round of university. I would need to go back to school for another 3 years. And at the time, my paycheck was our family's primary source of income. But there's nothing less interesting than going to work in one job when you've got the next one all lined up. I would need to go to work for another couple of years, stashing away as much money as we could to get us through my career change. This prospect wasn't very motivating or exciting. But there's another problem. My work required me to sell hundreds of thousands of pounds of stuff that would eventually be thrown out or flushed down the drain. You see, I sold cleaning supplies and washroom supplies to large institutions. For someone called to serve God, this did not exactly feel like holy work. So what did I do with this fallow time in my life? Well, I decided to go to work for God. Around this time, the green cleaning movement was taking off, and I decided that since I had to work for at least a couple more years, I would turn my job in janitorial sanitation sales into work for God. I'd make it my personal mandate to help my customers go green, reducing the amount and the kind of stuff they were flushing down the drain. Suddenly, the burden of having to stick it out in a job I was ready to abandon became inspiring again. I was having an impact, even if this was just a stepping stone along the way. See, here's the bottom line. When you can turn your ordinary, everyday job into a way to serve God, there is nothing more motivating or inspiring. When we leverage our current situation, imperfect though it is, for God's future one, that job goes from being a daily slog to a real joy. Timothy Keller, in his book called Every Good Endeavor, says that the consensus of the marketplace is that making money is the main thing in life. But that view of the world is dehumanizing. And he says that the result of it is polluted rivers, poor service, unjust compensation, entitlement attitudes, dead-end jobs, dehumanizing bureaucracy, backstabbing, and power grabs. This is why it is so important to be intentional in implying the counter-narrative of the gospel, even in our work. And that counter-narrative begins with us, with you, and with me. With people who know that there is so much more to our work than simply making money. And the only way for that to change is for you and for me to go to work on Monday morning, living into a different reality, leveraging our current reality for God's future one. So let's recap where we've been over the last few weeks. God created work to bless us and that our work so that our work could have purpose. God created humanity to tend and to care for the garden. And that means that no matter what you do, be it home care, farming, working for someone else, being a student, or being retired, God delights in your work. The second week, we heard that God can lead you and equip you in ways you can't quite predict to do His will. Our job isn't to figure out what I want to do when I grow up, but it's to ask, what does God want me to do when I grow up? Because it is when we live into our true God-given purpose that we find real meaning and real happiness. And today, we have heard that God wants us to take the long view in our work, to recognize even when it feels like we are slogging it out day after day, that we can turn that experience into an opportunity to share in His glory, to serve His purposes, by leveraging our current opportunity for His future one. So I don't know what lies ahead for you this week. We have a diverse crowd here today, and you spend your time in a lot of different ways. But it is my prayer that as you go about your work, that you will see it differently, that you will find blessing in it, even as you can see that it is imperfect, that you will know that God delights in your creativity, in your determination, in your willingness to do it for Him. And that ultimately, your little things are part of a much bigger whole. Your ability to serve God in those little things are never wasted, but leveraging your current situation, you can participate in God's future one. Thanks be to God. Amen.